We're going to read our scripture this morning. Only three chapters left. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. For those who have your Bibles, you might want to follow with us. Shall we stand as I read the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death hath no power, but they shall be as priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to the number whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May God bless the reading of his word at this time. Due to technical difficulties, the following message will come to you minus the opening prayer and first couple minutes of the introduction. May God bless you as you listen. And we've gone over this, giving scripture verses to this account. In the middle also, the Antichrist would be revealed. This is when Satan is cast down from heaven. This is when the great tribulation starts, is Satan's wrath. From this point until sometime in the middle of this half of the 7-year period, we will find that Christ will intervene and the persecution will be stopped. We don't know the day nor the hour. We have the idea of times and seasons. Only God himself knows the day nor the hour. From that point of the rapture, God's wrath begins. God's wrath begins. And it goes through the end of the 70th week with a scroll that was opened by the Lamb. Some of you may remember that. And then the bowl judgments actually continue 30 days past that. This is found in Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. From the middle to the end is 1,260 days. So when you look up Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, it'll talk about when the sacrifices are stopped, and it'll be 1,290 days. And then blessed are those who come to the 1,305 days. That's another 45-day period. If we add the 30 and the 45, we get 75, don't we? That brings us to where we start today. I did all that just to get where we start. You say, is that important? There's something special about, first of all, it's important because God said anyone who reads this book is blessed. Revelation 1:3. Blessed are those that read this book and keep those things which are written therein. And so this is precious. I have shared with several people that this has been the best year in our ministry. And it wasn't until the last couple of weeks that God brought before me this verse that you are blessed if you read the book of Revelation. In my own heart, I believe God has blessed us for going through this book of Revelation. We started in October. We've got two chapters left after today, and we will finish at the last of September. And so it's been almost 1 year, or will be 1 year. But God is blessed in so many ways. We see many lives being touched one by one. And it's beautiful to see that you just work with people until they begin to understand and God opens their eyes. They recognize they're sinners and need His forgiveness and decide to surrender to Him and say, Lord, come into my heart. I want to follow You from now on. I can't think of anything more exciting. I pray that as we go on, we'll continue to see more and more people sharing the Word of God. It's been so exciting for me to see this happen. I want to say one more thing. This is only possible because of the power of prayer. Yesterday we had 12 men out for prayer, and I had to interrupt at 8 o'clock because they were praying. It was one of the most exciting things. I just felt the Spirit of God present so fully there at that time. And we have prayer service on Wednesday. And I know people pray here. And they look for answers to prayer. Because it's our whole church is based on the power of prayer and the power of God in answering that prayer. As we claim that His promises, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know whatever we ask, we have the petition that we desire of Him. Now, as we look at this last section, chapters 20, 21, and 22, I feel very assured of a lot of it. Are there going to be tweakings along the way? Yes. As God opens up more verses and brings harmony to more things, this will take place. This is the way God's Word is. We pray. We ask Him to open our eyes to what He's saying. We depend upon Him to give us understanding of His Word because He has promised when He sent the Holy Spirit that He will guide us into the truth of His Word. I repeat these things because at times we hear things over and over again and we don't recognize that, hey, we serve a living God and He is real and He answers prayer. Many of you are excited. I know you are. And I can see your smiles and I talk to you and I know we can't get off the phone, either one of us, because we enjoy talking, but sometimes one of us has something we've got to get done. But this is the way Christians are, is it not? We love the Lord. We love to talk about His Word. We love to understand what's happening. Now let's look into the Word. We find John saying, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That puts us at the beginning of the 1,000 years, very likely on the first day. We find, whether the chain is literal or not, Satan is going to be rendered useless during this particular time. He will not affect anybody. Now, we've already had the rapture. We've already had the rapture. And I believe the Old Testament and New Testament saints, and we went over this, are raptured in their glorified bodies. Now, there are going to be those without their glorified bodies that will go through the years, and they will be reproducing, and there will be children born, and so on. So you keep these things in mind. Now, that serpent of old, I think it's back in Genesis 3:1, it talks about that serpent of old, the serpent that tempted Eve and deceived her, and that serpent who was in the garden. We have them identified, actually, first of all, in 12:9, and now in this book, 22, that he is the devil. You say, I knew that all along. So did I, but here we have it for sure. There it just said the serpent. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. You would be surprised, maybe not, of how much Satan is working today to deceive people. Even in the churches, Satan is causing people to compromise the truth out of fear of being rejected. He's causing people to water down the word to get bigger attendances. He's causing misunderstanding of what God's Word really says, and he started that out long time ago with Eve. He tried to continue it with Jesus. And Satan is still fully powerful. Now, Christ won the victory at the cross, and we operate in Jesus. And I pray that people keep their eyes on Jesus. We don't need to keep our eyes on Satan. But we do need to be aware of his working. He still works. And when you find that you are having victory, Satan will work even harder to discourage you. He works a lot through depression and discouragement. You say, how can I be happy when I know what's ahead? You look at what's way ahead. Jesus endured the cross, despises the shame because of the joy that was set before him. Now, he had the cross before him, but he looked beyond that when he would be given the glory that he had with his Father right from the beginning. Now, verse 4, the next events. I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Now, this phrase, I cannot be real sure of. We've had the Bema Seat judgment. I believe this is the judgment of the sheep and goats, which I have not seen as we've studied through here, and I have not seen where others have, many have placed it right at this particular point. There are some things that, if this is changed, will change some of the rest. I give you what the Lord has opened to me, and I'll share why he's opened to me in the scriptures that support it. But I do know the sheep and goat judgments are very important. I'm going to read just the first few verses of that judgment of the Gentiles in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and they'll ask Him, When did we do these things? And when were you sick, and we visited you? In verse 40, the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me. Jesus said, there will be Gentiles that we'll come to in just a minute in our lesson. There will be Jews that were saved on the third day after the 70th week. And they will come to follow and recognize their Messiah. And they will not receive their glorified body at that time because the rapture was back here. And so they will be those who populate the 1,000-year period along with this next group that we see. Well, the sheep of the sheep and goat judgments, the one that have helped the Jews, and some of them will have been martyred. Let's look at the rest of verse 4. First of all, I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. Now let's just take that. He saw these souls. They hadn't received the mark or they hadn't worshipped the beast. Now if that took place during the Great Tribulation, they would be caught up at the rapture when the persecution was shortened. But this has to take place during the wrath of God. During the wrath of God. Somehow, I believe they hadn't heard the gospel before or understood it, and at that time they come to know God. Remember, the everlasting gospel is preached from heaven by one of those angels? And he tells them, don't take, Babylon has fallen, and the third one, I think it is, it says, don't take the mark. I mean, it's irrevocable. And so there's an encouragement from heaven to some of these that have come through this whole period. You know, as I think of this, it just, God has everything planned out, doesn't He? Everything planned out. Now, these, they had not worshipped the beast of His image. They had not received His mark. They had been beheaded. In the original, beheaded by an axe, for the gospel's sake, and for their witness to Jesus. This is a special group. I say special, it's singled out here in God's word for us, so they're special. You remember the special group that was in the choir, singing praise? The harpist in chapter 15 of Revelation, they were the ones who had received victory over the mark of the beast and a worshiping him, but they were up in heaven already because of the rapture. I know this is kind of complicated, but as we work through it, I pray that you'll go back over it, start in chapter 1 when you get home, and read and ask questions and give me a jingle. I may not have all the answers, but maybe I can give you some other verses to go on that, because I believe there's a blessing for those who are sincere in reading it. Never to take the place of salvation. That's the biggest thing that the Bible teaches. Don't get me wrong. This whole lesson is that we might be prepared to know Jesus Christ and be prepared when He comes back, that we will be found faultless and without blame before Him in love. Now, these people that had been beheaded, first, they lived, and what that word really means is they came alive. They came alive. These are the ones that reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This group reigns with Christ for 1,000 years. I haven't added anything to God's Word in trying to explain it other than what we see here in God's Word. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. God has pretty much taken care of all those who have come to know Him. We know from the rest of the Bible it's a small group. Few there are that save. Jesus says, "Will I find faith on earth as I come back?" There's few that are really saved. There's few that have been born again of God. As many as received Him, to those He gives power or authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name, who are born not of blood, it's not inherited, who are born not of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God, where God has performed a work within us and changed us. The way is open for anybody who's willing to humble themselves and say, "I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness, and I want You to take over in my life." Paul begs us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are encouraged highly to be diligent to make your calling and election sure by Peter. We are to give everything we've got in following Jesus Christ. There's no time to neglect. There's no time to neglect. I believe I can say that on the Word of God. Behold, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. And it's open. Him that cometh to Me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. But it's a way of life, is it not? Following the Lord is a way of life. He changes us. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We are changed. The rest of the dead, we find they did not live until 1,000 years were finished. Now, those are the unbelievers, aren't they? And they're going to be living in torment. This is the first resurrection. Explaining that first resurrection is rather interesting. I had in Sunday school this morning, but I'm going to repeat it. 1 Corinthians 15:22-23, for as in Adam all die, even so Christ shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ is the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Now, I read someplace and it was explained as from the farmer's point of view, and I thought, I understand that, because we had a garden this year, and I thought particularly of the tomatoes. We had some plants given to us, and those tomatoes, we watered and we cared for it, and they droop, and we'd run out with more water. And suddenly we had a couple tomatoes that were ripe when we got to pick our first tomatoes. They were the first fruits. Am I right? Then we had a whole passel of them that came ripe. Actually, they came so fast, we had to give a lot of them away because we couldn't use them all. But that's good. That's a good thing. That's like the rapture, is it not? But then you'll have these that come in after that. and you work for them and you labor for them. And it's wonderful. I feel we're living in that time right now. And you say, oh, Dave, you don't have any faith. We're going to have big revivals. I pray you're right. I pray you're right. But I see the iniquity filling up. I see the nation becoming more wicked. Am I just saying that to be depressed? No. I think at times we have to look at the facts. God says, I tell you ahead of time, so when it comes to pass, you might believe. We're living in that time before Christ is coming again, and I believe it's close. In fact, it may be closer than most of us think. I don't know. There's things that I know biblically have to happen yet, and I don't know how fast God's going to arrange for these to take place, but I know it's like a woman in travail with child. They become more frequent, the pains, and they intensify the closer we get to that coming. Now, as we go on, we come to verse 6. This is the fifth beatitude that we find in the book of Revelation. There's seven of them. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That first resurrection is all those from the first fruits on to those last few that come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're all part of that first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. The second death is a spiritual death. If you're born once, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and He's real in your life and He's changed you, you were born again. You were born again. Actually, you're born twice. You were born again. You don't have to worry about the second death. If you're born only once, just physically, then you'll have two deaths. You'll have a physical death unless Christ comes first, and you'll have a spiritual death. Okay, there's two deaths. The second death is after the 1,000 years when the books are opened and your name isn't found in the book of life. That's the second death. Let's look at it. The ones that are in the first resurrection, that second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this is all at the beginning of the 1,000 years. Going to run out of time. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, now, I want to point out something very important. It doesn't tell us in the middle. You've got the beginning, all of that first part, and now suddenly we're at the end when the 1,000 years have expired. This will be answered in the next 2 weeks. You'll have to come back. We have to go on. Satan's going to be released from his prison or from his place where he cannot have any power over anyone. And he'll go out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together, gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now we have these who did not receive their glorified bodies who will be reproducing. We'll look at that in Isaiah next week and so forth. And you'll find that there'll be many people, 1,000 years, what, 16 generations or so, and there'll be many people. And Satan is let loose for a while, and he will deceive. They'll be as the sand of the sea, the Bible says. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That won't be a big battle at this time. God takes care of them. But it shows man's heart. Apart from the power of God, it shows man's heart. And the devil, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night. The beast and the false prophet were cast in before. They were the first fruits. Now we have the devil being cast in. We went to verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's going to be the big thing. And that's where their eternity is going to be spent. That's the second death you find in verse 14. That's the second death. Now, then I saw a great white throne judgment. This is after the 1,000 years. And him who sat on it, here is a phrase brought up to me a few weeks ago, bothered me a whole lot. From whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. From whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. That too will be answered in the next 2 weeks. Mark it down. We want to come back to it. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, books, plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead, and they were judged, each one according to his works. I'd love to take more time. I keep borrowing 5 minutes, and not all of you come back in the evening to gain that back again. But I find that as I look through here, the question was asked, why do you think Satan was released after 1,000 years? You wanted to know too, didn't you? Why was Satan released as 1,000 years? And the only reason we could think of is that God gives every chance for repentance and for trusting in Him and following Him. See, in our natural selves, we cannot do it. But God said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, Jeremiah 29. I believe and pray this morning that those who have heard this message might come and seek God as you've never sought Him before. As Christians, that you might be encouraged to just grow and to follow Him. You know, the key is love. We love Him because He first loved us. How we need to love each other. And how we need to love the unsaved and see them brought in to be a part of the family of God. I won't get started, or I'll just go on preaching. I see so many things. I want to thank each of you for coming out this morning. And as we get close to the end of this, and so many of you have been faithful all the way through and listening, I thank you for it. If there are things that I see in the future that I don't see now in this book, I will share them with you. If you have things you see and want to ask about, share them with me. I've always said truth can stand examination. Kind of dangerous at times when you're a pastor, but it should be true. If there's truth, it can stand examination. Shall we stand as we're dismissed? Our Heavenly Father, I come to You at this time thanking You, Lord, for Your Word and for Your love for us, that You have told us ahead of time what's going to happen so when it comes to pass, we might believe. I pray that we might see people excited as Christians to dig into Your Word in every facet, Lord. There are so many things that You have given us for our edification and our building up. And we want to get into some of those things as we finish this book. But Lord, in the meantime, this too, You have written and promised a special blessing for those who go through it. And we have seen You keep that promise. And I praise You for it. And I pray, Father, that each one here might be blessed for listening. Blessed abundantly. May we continually seek Your face. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one.